Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, we'll be chatting Jim Boylan's latest pay rise, Draymond Green's somewhat controversial take about defense, possible trades around Anthony Davis and Jason Tatum, JJ Redick's all-star chances, and is Kyle Kuzma the second best player on the Lakers? Along with all that, we'll also be hitting you with some Brooklyn and Wizards news in a brand new segment. And Enes Kanter has been ruled out of a few games after eating too many burgers, so logically, we'll be talking about it in off-topic. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today in my very own...
Boudoir. Oh, fuck you.
It's a good start. Is the J-Man, Jack Manuel. Welcome back to Australia, mate.
Yeah, I can smell your sweat, Nicholas. Your endorphins.
Yep.
Your pheromones. I'm aroused.
I'm a gym man.
Yeah.
I'm a gym man these days. That's my random
a
fact.
Gyme?
My name is Nick. And I'm a gym man.
Good for you.
And I hate every second of everything.
Well, like, but...
Let me rant,
okay,
Jack.
Okay, seriously, please. All right, sure.
The people listen to this podcast for the rants, and that is very, very true.
I thought listen for the bands.
For New Year's resolution, a lot of people join the gym. I mean, it's not gym...
Uncommon.
Permanent gym goers hate this time of year because their gym gets infected with people like me.
Yep.
And... You know, office banter comes around and they're like, oh, you know, you just joined gym. How are you enjoying it? And all the people that say, it's like, you know what? I really enjoy it. They're fucking lying. They are lying. They are kidding themselves because this is the most horrible experience in the world. And the sooner you realize that the gym sucks, it produces longevity because it's not like it's going to get better. The people who go into the gym being like, you know, well, this is really good. I'm like motivated. I'm so happy. Like, I'm glad I went to the gym today.
Yeah.
They will quit. Those are the people in 2 months will deactivate their gym membership because they realize, man,
they wanna quit
the novelty of this gym has gone.
Well,
sooner you realize the gym sucks, the more you can persevere through it. And then when it really does suck 6 months down the line, you deal with it.
Well, if you didn't get a new job, Nicholas, we could have been balling 5 days a week.
That's
that would have
true.
Been healthier.
It's true. Are you saying I should quit?
You should definitely quit so I can play more basketball with you. It was fun doing that, but you're inspiring me a little bit, Nick. I think I might get back to footy training and do a bit more basketball myself, but I'm back from New York now, so I'm going to get the gym body going myself. It's summer weather down here. I can sort of cover myself in layers in negative degree weather, obviously. That is Celsius for our American listeners. But, did you introduce me?
I did.
Oh, cool.
The J-Man, Jack Manuel, who's sitting in my boudoir. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, the boudoir. Yes. And I said this F word.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, a few official things that we've got to get through first. You can contact us on Twitter. You can reach us there, at the J-Man JBT or at JBT Nick. We are pretty heavily, Jack more so than myself, but I like, when I post a tweet, you know it. Because it's fire. Jack's more about quantity than quality. That's not true. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network, news website, where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. So make sure you check
them out. Trade deadline marathon's gone gangbusters.
There you go. A lot of stuff happening on the OTG.
I'm doing some video breakdowns on specific players as well. Mm-hmm. So if you want that video content, I got it, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're a Nets fan, check out the Brooklyn Buzz with the J-Man himself. And obviously follow him on Twitter because he does play-by-play as well. So he's very active there. Facebook, we're pretty big on Facebook as well. Just Ball Things, facebook.com/JustBallThings. Give us a like and a follow. JBTPodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up there. We'll read out the emails on the show. If you've got any suggestions, tidbits, talking points, whatever. All right, let's get started, mate. Using Manmar Scale. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT creative scale by us that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA.
We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and straight up fact. All right. First one here, mate. Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
Jim Boylan.
JB.
JB. I always do this. Every start of...
We just repeat.
Yeah.
Stop.
It's just the person who's... It's like... Because I remember I did the last one. Luke Walton. Walton. The Walt Man. Or whatever. Jim Boylan's reported pay rise is entirely justified. This happened today.
Yeah, literally hours ago, yeah. Nicholas.
This is Sunday in Australia, so Saturday night.
I love when the news works out for us on JBT.
Mm.
So we put it in, obviously, because it's entirely not justified. So it's an alternative fact. I believe that Shams, however you say it, is reporting that the last 2 years of his reported contract, he gets a pay rise. And that was just negotiated. Is he in the money, Nicholas? What's it? What's?
I mean, I would press it if I knew what it was. I've got this one.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear that one either. Well, that's Gabe said. I am very bad at it. There it is.
Okay, he's cool. All right.
Hey, I'm new.
We've been doing this for three years now, mate.
Oh, there it is. We're in the
money. Oh, my God. Took us about 15 seconds to find it.
This has been a good 6 minutes and 15 seconds.
No, it's been the worst 15 minutes of podcasting in Apple history. But I believe it is unjustified. I'm not sure why, if you're the Bulls front office and Garpax, what the thought process is to making this. Like, just why?
I know.
What has he done to justify? It's like, what, they can now do like 205 push-ups instead of 185 push-ups? Have they been going to the gym more? Have you inspired them, Nicholas? You've been influencing Jim Boylan a bit?
I very much doubt that. I mean, the Bulls are not in any better...
state.
Exactly.
None at all.
Why? They're 10-32. There was no need. I mean, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Maybe blackmailed them. Maybe there's some nude photos.
Maybe.
I don't know who the GM of the Bulls is.
John Paxson. Gar Foreman.
That's right. Maybe they're in cahoots together and there's some questionable photos out there.
The whole thing about the front office...
It's a gym boycott.
Yeah.
Hey.
The whole point of the front office is that apparently Fred Hoiberg didn't get along with them. And that front office has been heavily, heavily criticized for many, many years. And they've been told to like get out. To put in Nick's terms, by fans plenty of times. But Jerry Reisendorf, I believe his name is, the owner of the Bulls, they're on good terms with him. So like they essentially have eternal job security, which is what we all want. But maybe they've got other implicit photos, explicit photos of the owner himself. It's a trickle-down effect. It's a pyramid. It's a circle. I don't know what you want to think, but this is just a dumb move, Nick. So dumb.
I know. It's so strange. I mean, what sort of leverage does Jim Boylan have to negotiate a raise?
How long has he been coached for? Like 15 games? 20 games?
I know. It's strange. I don't know.
This organization is an absolute... I remember back in the day, like when the Bulls were going really well, that's when we like started just following basketball. Chaz was like D. Rose, Tom Thibodeau. Number one team, basically, other than the Cavs out in the East.
Mm.
Your team, the Wizards on the come up, getting John Wall, Bradley Beal, they're starting to gel a little bit.
Wizards on the come up.
Things are happening. Then you start to, you know, make some playoffs and stuff. And now, the Brooklyn Nets, the laughing stock of my friendship group in terms of when it comes to NBA basketball teams, is the number one team. But again, like we will for a weekly basis for the rest of the year, we will get to both teams. But before we do that, Nicholas, Dante Turo on Twitter sparked a bit of a fire debate. Luka Doncic is going to be a top 5 player in the NBA in 5 years. What do you think about this one, sir?
Yeah.
So it's
potentially. I'm going to give this one a wiki.
Okay.
It's so hard. That's... Like, what do you do? It's his rookie year.
So we go.
Donovan Mitchell was lighting up the league as well, and now he's had the second year slump.
So we go 5 years
but
in the future.
5 years.
We go 5 years in the future. I think guys like Kawhi Leonard will probably still be there. Guys like Kyrie Irving will probably be around there. He's still quite young.
LeBron's still going to be in his prime.
But he probably will be. Giannis is a clear candidate. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid. That's 5 already. I don't think Luka Doncic is going to be cracking that in my eyes.
I think he could be like...
He's probably top.
Not so much. Maybe not Anthony Davis level because
Anthony Davis is the best power forward of all time. I mean,
exactly. It's like it seems to me that a general consensus. Everyone has their own sort of tidbits that they put in, but general consensus seemed to be LeBron, KD.
Yep, and Steph.
Yeah,
that's sort of like 2A, 2B.
Yeah. And then AD's below them, and
with
then
Harden,
and then the field. No, I think AD's on its own.
Right,
I think
now AD, it's Harden, though.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I get
another 40-point game the other day. He's amazing.
He'll be in JV team. But like, I get what you're saying because it's AD, Harden, and Kawhi are sort of that sort of next tumble bit, and then you chuck in Giannis. Like the top seven, top eight is really hard to argue.
I wouldn't even put Kawhi in there with with AD.
But like, if we're focusing on this topic, forecasting 5 years in the future, I'm going to go Twitter.
He could be there with a Giannis.
Of course, he could be. But
is Giannis a top five player?
Giannis is going to be the best player in 5 years' time, I think.
But is Giannis a top five player now? Probably not.
But it depends on how you rate the top five players. And Corey and I are going to have our top 50 coming out very soon for OGBasketball.com, which will be... It was fun to debate in the preseason, but it's going to be even trickier. But do you... So you're giving it Wiki?
I'm going to give it Wiki because I think 5 years is maybe a bit too soon.
But that's still...
I think he will be a top five player.
In 5 years' time.
I don't know.
That's
though.
The thing, though.
He could be, but his growth would have to be unprecedented.
Because, like, we've already got essentially a top five that I mentioned.
Hmm.
I mean, Embiid could have some injuries. Kyrie's got his injury concerns as well. AD has minor ones, so does Kawhi. But I just think that those guys aren't even at their prime yet and are only going to get better. KD, Steph, and LeBron probably fall down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the other guys underneath them that we sort of mentioned are going to be on the come up. I'm probably usurping them soon enough.
Who knows where De'Aaron Fox is in 5 years' time?
I mean,
you never know.
D'Angelo Russell, baby.
Yeah,
Caris LeVert, baby.
John Wall.
Zion Williamson. Who knows? He could be a transcendent superstar.
You see, you always think about the players in the league because 5 years' time, you're not really thinking of college players. But like
Zion,
his growth could be tremendous. He could be in 5 years' time, he'll be 4 years in the league.
Yeah,
he could be the best, but he could be top five.
But Luka
Doncic will be a top five player.
He's probably top 30, top 40 right now. So I mean, if you see the ascendancy, we'll have to wait and see. But Nicholas, the Houston Rockets, we mentioned James Harden, will finish the regular season as the number one contender to the Warriors out west. No.
No
skis.
No, I am going like, you know when, like you have a
steak.
Yeah,
nah. Or no, yeah.
No, you know when you have a steak and you're just eating it. And
or you're
it's really good.
Tasty,
and you're just like,
Yeah.
That's what the Rockets are right now.
They're tasty.
They're a tasty
medium
team.
Medium rare.
I have been a big fan of the Rockets for a long time. I've been a big fan of James Harden for a long time. I was mocked by my friendship group, yourself included, for enjoying James Harden's game. I'm the Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah, and I'm
and
the
you're,
Chris Vernon.
Yes, you're the Chris Vernon. I don't know whether you've changed.
I'm lesser than Chris Vernon
because I know your brother hated the way James Harden played.
Yeah.
Because I got a James Harden jersey, and he's like, "Ooh, James Harden."
Yeah. You wear that quite regularly.
I love it. I love him.
Yeah.
He is amazing. Amazing player.
Biscuits.
I forgot the question because I'm just so infatuated. I'm just so infatuated.
Houston
going
to be the number one contender to the Warriors out west. What are we
doing? Wiki.
So,
I'm confused between Twitter and Wiki.
So if you're not set in stone, obviously it's hard to be set in stone halfway through the season, but right now, where do they stand, Nicholas?
I think they're...
It's literally right in front of you, mate. It's right in front of you.
Oh, no, I thought you meant personally. Where do I think they stand?
No, I said,
they stand right now in fifth.
Okay, so who's above?
Equal fifth, sorry, with the Clippers.
Okay, so...
They've got the Blazers ahead of them. They've got the Thunder ahead of them.
They're better than the Blazers.
They're better than the Clippers.
They're better than the Clippers. I think the Thunder and the Nuggets are two teams that could...
That's going to be hard.
Yeah. I'm still on the Thunder bandwagon.
I think the Thunder are the... That's my pick.
Yep.
As the closest, I guess, giant killers to the Golden State Warriors, which might be, I don't know, maybe it's a bit ignorant. I do love the Rockets, but like I can't get over that start of the Rockets
season. And Chris
Paul. Their reliance of Chris Paul in that playoff series last year.
Obviously, we don't even
Ariza.
Know. Yeah.
I think it'll affect them in the playoffs.
And I think that OKC, despite the... I think Russell Westbrook's still averaging a triple-double, and he's shooting like poo. Steven Adams...
He is averaging a triple-double.
Steven and Adams...
24 assists the other day. Really,
it was an insane night. Steven Adams is playing like an all-star. Paul George is playing like an MVP contender. My new favorite player is Jeremy Grant. I freaking love watching that kid play. Terrence Ferguson was awesome the other night as well. Nerlens Noel's doing some good things. And apparently, they're a buyer on the trade market. So we might have some trades for you on OGDBasketball.com relating to them. But I'll go Twitter because I think that OKC are above them. But the transcendent basketball that James Harden is playing right now could easily leave me with egg on my face.
But that's the thing. Like, it's about halfway through the season, and I'm still thinking about the Rockets' start. If they continue this run of form that they're on, I'd actually have to check how what their month of January has been. Because it would be...
Remember when we were like, it was like them and the Spurs were like in the doldrums? And we're
11-4 in December.
Remember? And we were both saying, we were like debating who's like the best team in Texas or whatever. It was like Dallas, Houston, and we both had Dallas.
And I'm on James, I mean, I spoke about this last week.
James Harden MVP.
And it's been a week, and he has continued that form.
Yep.
He's the only, I think the stat was, I mean, it might be
only
in JBT.
Only person to get the 40-point
I don't know if that's
double.
In JBT.
It is, but we'll give him the preview.
But he's like the only person since Kobe to average like 40 points over 15 games.
Over no, it was 30. It was to get 30 points for 15 games straight.
No, was it? I thought it was 40.
No.
Okay.
Because he hasn't scored 40 in a game.
No, no, to average 40 over those 15
games. I don't think it was 15. It was less than that. I think it was 8.
Whatever.
But I get what you're saying.
It was a historic. I remember getting the Bleacher Report about it.
He's putting up historic numbers. Mm-hmm. A guy who isn't, and we have debated plenty on the podcast as well, Draymond Green has said that you can't play defense in the league anymore. Draymond, let us know what you think, mate.
NBA records on May 3s combined by both teams, 41, which kind of has sparked the conversation. Is it good what's going on right now in the league? What do you think is the defense?
I mean, you can't really play defense in the league today. So, I don't know. I guess that's what they wanted, right?
Given that,
how frustrated are you that this is the norm now?
I'm not frustrated at all. I don't care. This is what it is.
Why are you always lying? Draymond is seriously, like, he's not frustrated? Bullshit. He is frustrated hell.
That is,
and I don't agree.
That is a straight-up fact that he is...
that's what the beauty of Manuel. The beauty of Manuel is that you can't play defense in the league anymore. I'm going alternative fact. I disagree with the fact. Yes, the offensive explosion has changed the way teams are defending and individual players are defending to an extent. But the fact that you can't play defense, I think that you just have to play better defense. And I think that means... You know, that we're forcing players to get better at what they do. Draymond's probably one of the best defenders nearly ever, past decade, whatever you want to call it. He's still very good and still in that upper echelon. Not sure if he's the defensive player of the year right now. We're not going to do a mid-season awards because it doesn't make sense. But I personally think that teams have adjusted in a lot of ways. We're seeing a lot more zone defense. Like, defense that we would play at Rec League and stuff because it was the easiest.
Yeah.
And it has been wholly effective a lot. We've seen teams sort of do these intricate, weird defenses on certain plays. The Brooklyn Nets have been one of those teams because they don't have the defensive cattle that a Golden State or an OKC does. So they need to be more creative with it. And I think that Draymond is definitely frustrated. And I think that he's not lying. It's his personal opinion. But I think you can certainly still defend in this league.
You can still do. Of course, you can. But I'm going to go... maybe Wikipedia fact, because I understand where he's coming from, because you can't one-on-one defend anymore.
But, like, you can, because, you like, can't. I saw, like, Marc Gasol today on, like, Bam Adebayo. He gets away with so many calls. And I think Draymond's probably just a bit frustrated because he might...
Yeah, but that's not defending. The fact that he's getting away with calls, that's not defending. That's getting away with calls.
No, but that's physicality on the defensive end, because that's what, to me, it sounds like he's inferring. That you can't be as physical on defense anymore. That they give away ticky-tack fouls.
They do.
That's
because that's what the rules go.
But I just said that players of Marc Gasol's caliber, and like a lot of players have that sort of aura about them, the star players. I don't think Draymond gets those calls because the refs hate him, and with due course, because he gets away with so much anyway. Like the amount of techs that you could pay on Draymond Green, again, a discussion for another day. But I mean, there are plenty of players. Rodion Kurutz got a tech the other day for staring at the back of Jaren Jackson's head after dunking. If that was Draymond Green, they would have played the tech against the other guy. I'm frustrated at Draymond's, not lack of awareness, but it frustrates me because, you know, just do better, bro. Be better.
Stats don't lie, mate.
All right, here we go. Stats, man.
The leading off defensive rating right now is 102.9.
Yep.
And last year, 102.9.
Okay.
Okay. So the fact that you can't defend... Hold on, I'm not finished yet.
I'm letting you go. I'm letting you go.
It's been a progressive thing as we've been going. The leading defensive rating in 2000-2001, San Antonio Spurs was 96. And that trend continues every year. Below 100 for the best defensive rating in the league. Lot harder to defend now.
That's
with
good.
All of the little... It's good for the game.
It is.
I'm not denying that. But you can't defend the way that Draymond Green wants to defend anymore. You can't hand check, which has been a rule for
That's
a while.
That's been a rule since the late 2000s.
It's been a rule for a while. But there's no doubt that defending is more art now. It is more of a team construct than a... I can lock you down. One player, one-on-one, because that defender's 90% going to lose out.
Well, yeah. I mean, the good offense will always beat good defense. That's just the nature of the beast.
But that's only because of, like, rules and ticky-tack fouls that are paid.
I also think that it's the way of the game in terms of the pace and space era, blah, blah, blah. The way offenses are being instilled by the coaches.
But to more my point, before you move on,
is
more like I'm giving it a wiki because I understand where Draymond's coming from. But then you look at team defense is now so much. It's so much more important. You saw the transition in AFL as well.
Yeah,
Doggies won a premiership.
That was
off
like
the back.
5 years ago.
It was 3 years ago.
Oh, wow, really? Okay,
2016.
Cool.
I've got the poster right there. the transition was more away from your players like your Campbell Browns. It's going to make no sense to
we've got a solid amount of Aussie listeners. Campbell Browns are very Aussie name.
Where your one-on-one defenders, because one-on-one defenders are going to lose out to big bodies like your Hawkins, your buddies. So team defenses and swarm is a lot better. You're seeing that in basketball. Is a lot like steals and deflections is how you defend now.
Yeah, but I still think that...
And that's from team defense.
Yeah, but I still think that there is a place for... You know, we look at the best defenders in the league are always your centers and stuff. But again, I enjoy the philosophical talk. But Nick, I told you that I only had two videos, but here's a third one for you. and we'll put it up in a second. In any possible trade for Anthony Davis, the Celtics have to find a way to keep Jason Tatum out of any deal. This is in response to apparently his dad saying that Jason Tatum... should be traded if they were to get Anthony Davis in return.
By Anthony Davis, and they said, would you trade, would you trade for Anthony Davis, and would Jason Tatum be one of those guys involved in the trade? And I said, all day. I would trade for him all day long. And Jason Tatum's dad came to me a couple of days later and said, man, I got a bone to pick with you. I was like, what? He said, you said you'd trade my son for Anthony Davis. I said, and? And he said, well, I probably would trade him too if he wasn't my son. So I think that...
Okay, so...
I would trade my future son, Nicholas, if I could get Anthony Davis on the Nets. Please, I would absolutely do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think there's much of a discussion in this.
Yeah,
you're trading a second-year player who could be great for proven
Bill Simmons.
Best...
Yeah.
Power forward in possibly ever. Like it.
Bill Simmons has argued, and this
of
was
course
more,
he would. He's a Celtics fan.
But this was last season. I'm guessing he might have changed his tack of late. But it's like, and we're going to get to this guy as well, how Lakers fans are like, we have to keep Kyle Kuzma. And I'm like, If you can get Anthony Davis,
yeah, you don't keep Kyle
trade
Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma in a heartbeat.
You trade everyone less than
LeBron.
Anthony Davis.
I mean, I think even like
to obtain Anthony Davis, you trade anyone who is less than Anthony Davis,
which is
really only KD, LeBron, Steph.
And you could argue because like Anthony Davis Giannis. Has another decade left in his career,
yeah,
that there are that like LeBron isn't worth that, and KD and all those sort of players. So.
I think it's weird that AD's not real. Like, I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about Anthony Davis or
no
Giannis.
One does.
I'm like, the guy is averaging 20. He's averaging the highest points next to Harden, I think.
PR's
he's
20.
I think he's second.
His PR's 31.2.
He is amazing.
That's double the average.
He is amazing. It's only because New Orleans suck.
Yeah. And I mean...
And that's all it is.
And I told you, I saw him in person. And it was the most phenomenal individual performance I've ever seen.
They're 11th right now.
We'll be keeping up to date with the New Orleans Pelicans. They've been decent of late. I think they've won 4 of their past 5. Nikola Mirotic is back. Etuan Moore's back today. I believe they're battling the Timberwolves as we speak. So I'm always an advocate for the New Orleans Pelicans. But Nicholas, speaking of Kuz,
they're 3-1 in
not
January.
Too bad. Kyle Kuzma is the Lakers' second best player. This is in response to an ESPN article which was debating who is the Lakers' second best player.
Silly me, and I hate to bring back my own shortcomings.
Yeah.
But I'm going to. I think earlier in the season when the Lakers were going all right.
Yeah.
But JaVale McGee was such an important piece in that.
Defensively,
I mean, even offensively, he was getting points.
Yeah,
because of the like
of
lobs
LeBron.
And,
yeah.
and you know he was you know he's got a lot of playmakers around him.
P&R, yeah.
But I was saying that McGee could be the second high scorer on that team. I mean I'll take that back. and that's exactly what Kyle Kuzma is. He's
a scorer.
He's amazing.
He's a flyer scorer.
And people in LA will love him because he's that 40.0 assist game or something like that.
It's Kobe.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a fact. He's the Lakers' second best player.
Yeah, he's 100% fact.
But that's not necessarily a good thing either. Because,
no, it's
like,
not.
Right now with LeBron,
he's not an all star.
No.
For a team that wants to contend, your second best player needs to be an all star.
And I think that in terms of ceiling, Brandon Ingram still has a better one, but his continues to drop. But because I think Brandon Ingram has a more well-rounded skill set in terms of playmaking, defense, and the rest. But Brandon Ingram is showing less and less and becoming more of an Andrew Wiggins type. Though he, again, had a nice game the other day. And I did a breakdown for him on OGGBasketball.com. So, despite the fact that he is the Lakers' second-best player, it's a fact, it doesn't necessarily make things better for the Lakers. And I think that they need to make that splash trade, whether it's for Beal, whether it's for Davis, whatever happens, because they are holding on for dear life in terms of the playoffs. Where are they standing right now, Nick? I think they're 8th, aren't they? I think they're like, and there's plenty of teams on the come up for them.
They are 8th.
Utah are coming.
They're, how many games? They're 2 games behind 7th. So that's a decent way
and
behind
LeBron
one spot.
LeBron's said to be back, I believe, in like 4 or 5 days against the Warriors, but that's when he'll be reassessed. So they need him bad because they don't have anyone else that they can sort of rely on. There's not, as much as they've got these guys, and I've argued like ad nauseum on the NBA outlet about the construction of that NBA team by Rob Pelinka, aka Rob Lowe, and Magic Johnson, it's just been a shit show. But Kuz is playing well, and that's going to appease.
Kuz is playing well. I reckon that's a decent snapshot of the Western Conference playoffs right now. The top 8 right now, I think, will stay the top 8. I reckon the Spurs are in there. I'm putting the
we
Spurs
had like
in.
The Jazz second, I think, both of us.
I know, but they're not.
I think
they're just not.
Well, like when you have Dante Exum, Ricky Rubio, Thabo Sefolosha, like your point guard is like Raul Neto, and Raul Neto's all right. Like I'm not gonna hate, and they're doing okay because I think Donovan Mitchell has gotten back to some semblance of his old self. So we'll wait and see how that all plays out with Utah. But
5 points a game, Raul Neto.
Give him some credit, mate. He's a good player. And I'm going to give... I think that they could be
he's
on the cut.
He's almost a 50-49.
And I think the Clippers might jump out. But I'm sorry, Maggots.
I think the Clippers had a strong enough start to coast them. I know it's close in the Western Conference,
but we're still only halfway through.
I know, but I think they'll continue. Like, they're a good team. It's not like they got lucky at the start. No, they're not the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 14th right now.
I don't argue with that, but I think it's going to be closer than you think. But Nick, the calls for a Ben Simmons trade are becoming ridiculous. If you have been on any sort of social media,
I hate Sixers fans. I hate that. I'm sorry, Philadelphia. You have no idea what you have in Ben Simmons.
He's so good.
You unappreciative fucks.
I was having this discussion on Twitter yesterday about what Ben Simmons' nickname should be. And I think Cam was holding down the OTG account. And I was just like, me and Nick just call him Simmo.
Simmo.
And they're all just like, that's awesome. And he's just like, I've been saying Simmo for the past 10 minutes in an Australian accent. So Simmo... I think they are getting ridiculous. I mean, the one that I've put out there and I stole from someone, but like Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis and parts, because it makes sense. It can work.
It's the same theory as we did for Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You trade anyone that is less than Anthony Davis.
But Ben Simmons has higher potential.
Jason Tatum. Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I'm personally an advocate for Ben Simmons as a top 10 player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Tatum's there yet, but that's just me. But in terms of the hysteria around Ben Simmons' play, he's been up and down. I blame Kendall Jenner. I will consistently blame Kendall Jenner. Did you see the other day where she posted like a photo shoot? And Ben Simmons commented, he's like, get home. And then Kendall commented with a car and a puff of cloud emoji. Okay. And I'm just like, they're so thirsty for each other. Young love. You've got to appreciate it. They're very beautiful people. But the Kendall Jenner Kardashian curse remains. But he's still been good. I love that he doesn't even register on B-ball reference.
He hasn't taken a 3-point shot.
And the longest shot that he's taken was that one against Boston that was like a 22-footer. And it's the longest shot he's made in his career to date. But he's still... I was talking about transcendent with James Harden. He's not on that level.
Hmm.
But in terms of his offensive gifts...
The fact that he's averaging 16... He's averaging slightly... Like, let's say he's having the same year as his rookie year.
Yeah.
Which... wasn't a problem last year. Would you expect him to turn into a 20-point scorer in a year?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some people did. But they're wrong.
Yeah.
I have every faith that this talented, talented human being will develop a jump shot. And you watch him demolish people.
In terms of you have faith in the fact that he's going to change hands.
It doesn't matter.
Have you seen the mechanic?
It doesn't matter.
Have you seen him at the free throw line? He shoots it with his elbow. Like, you think I'm bad? His elbow's out here and he shoots like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
I have faith in...
Gotta have faith.
I have faith in the Simmo. Speaking of...
B-boy.
Speaking of nicknames... Basketball Reference have atrocious.
We've done this before.
No, I don't think. Oh, we definitely have. I remember seeing The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, and that's what I was arguing with Cam on Twitter. No, like, Wizard of Oz isn't that good. It's Simmo.
Terrible.
Simmo's way better.
Big Ben, Benny. Who calls him Benny?
No,
it's just bad.
It's Simmo.
It is most definitely Simmo.
But we'll get to a teammate of his, Nicholas, and this is via a piece from Vice Sports. JJ Redick should be in this year's All Star team. Alternative fact, do we need to spend more time on it than that?
He's averaging 18 points a game.
I mean, he's good.
15 PERs is just, it's literally bang on average.
Yeah. But like, if we go to, and this gives us an opportunity to look at the
put him in the 3-point contest ahead of Joe Harris.
He's obviously not going to beat Joe Harris. Please.
Obviously ahead
please! Of Joe Harris. Please. Joe Harris. He's better than the 3-point. He should just have a Joe Harris contest. Can he beat himself?
I love
himself?
That little video that...
how good was it?
The
yeah.
Nets did.
And he's
Joe
shooting
Harris.
The oranges. Yeah. And the eggs.
Oh, in the frying pan. Yeah, okay. It was good. It was very good.
Joe Harris is GOAT. And I searched everywhere around New York City for a Joe Harris jersey or T-jersey. They're sold out everywhere, mate.
I'm concerned for you, though, because I honestly don't think he will make the 3-point contest.
J.E. Skeets does, though. Like, he's leading the league in 3-point percentage.
I thought Seth Curry
Seth
was.
Curry is, but Joe Harris has had 100 more attempts. So okay. If you're gauging it by that, and I... Do not besmirch him. But in terms of the All-Star returns, we'll take a look. Obviously, there's been the second returns have come out. JJ Redick's not even in there. Neither is Joe Harris.
He's not going to get the popular vote.
But
neither is Joe Harris.
Joe Harris should.
You kid yourself.
But if anything, I could name a heap of guards ahead of him that deserve a spot.
Yeah, I know. I think Ben Simmons. Though. Oh, yeah, okay, fair.
And like Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, I think, is better than him this season, despite the fact that the Wizards have been trash. I think D'Angelo Russell has been better than him this season.
Oh, damn. I'm not willing to give you that one.
Well, you're wrong. And you haven't watched enough Brooklyn Nets games to vouch for that. But
18 points a game for Redick, that does it. That's not easy.
No, it's not. But like, he's the only three-point shooter, so he just takes six of them a game, and he's got it.
I think he's 37% from three, which is not as good as you'd expect. No.
Yeah.
44 from the field, but I assume that's because all of his shots are three.
he's a very good free throw shooter. He's an amazing free throw shooter. He's
almost at 90. Almost at 90.
He's always been insane there. Him and Steph Curry are like goats from that angle. But I'm sorry, Sixers fans. They're probably going to get angry at us. At me if you want, because Nick's probably not going to read his DMs. At the J-Man JVT. But Nick, before we get to the Brooklyn Bits and the Wizards Watch, which we just invented while we were uploading the videos. Our final one, Paul Pierce. If Giannis had a jumper, he'd be the best player in the league. Yeah.
Probably.
So that's Wiki?
It's probably fact.
Okay. Rightio.
Hold on. I'm going to bring up his stats.
While you do that, I will waffle because I'm very good at filling in dead time. obviously, you could... Giannis is an MVP right now. Like, for me, he's MVP. I mean, a lot of people have James Harden. Nick has something in his mouth and he wants to argue, but he's looking up something. but LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry. LeBron James...
That's a lot of points a game. I didn't realize it was at 26.
He's, like, dunking everything. But remember when LeBron James didn't have a jump shot? And he was still the best player in the league?
Yeah.
And then he got a jump shot and he just, like, elevated himself even further?
Yeah.
I think Giannis... I still am questionable... In terms, because I think Kawhi can be better than him as well. So I'm going to go Twitter.
It's just anyone with height that can take a J. Look at Dirk. What Dirk did. He was unstoppable. Kevin Durant. You cannot guard someone like that. And when when you've got the physicality that Giannis has, you couple it with a jump shot so you don't have to go bumping and grinding down low. If he gets it on the elbow... What are you supposed to do if he can shoot that every day?
Fade away, yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
If he can get open on the 3-point line, he's shooting 16% from three, but that's on less than three attempts a game.
That's surprising.
That's actually a lot. 2.4 attempts a game.
It's Budenholzer's system, though. He's just like, I don't care.
That's more attempts than I thought he would have.
And that would probably drag his effective field goal down tremendously. Yeah. He's still probably at like 60.
He's a 59% effective field goal because he's shooting 58% from the field.
And he just dunks. Like, yeah, literally just dunks everything.
Because he bullies his way to the paint.
He's a monster.
So if you can... If he's averaging 26 points. If he makes one extra three a game, he's at 29 points a game.
Yeah, but I mean...
That's one!
Yeah, I know. James Harden, I think, is at 33 points a game, which is, again, an unheard of number. Not unheard of. I think Kobe was the last person to average that off the top of my head.
Jordan did a 36 point.
I meant the last person to do
it. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yep. 34 points a game right now. That is nuts.
We'll obviously be keeping abreast of that. But Nicholas, it's time for the Brooklyn Bits and the Wizards Watch.
I'm gonna make a soundbite for this. So
ask you. And I thought you were gonna be like, no, it's only gonna like one topic. Who cares?
No, I'll do it.
Cool.
There needs to be a better name than Wizards Watch, right? Email us at JBT. Really? I don't like Wizards Watch.
Okay.
Brooklyn Bits is good.
Just because you came up with it and I came up with Wizards Watch.
But we've got a Rookie Watch. It needs to be
okay. No, but it's alliteration. That's why I came up with it.
I know it's alliteration. There's another W in there.
There's not many W words.
Who?
Wizards who?
What?
Yeah, right.
Wizards what?
We'll start with the Brooklyn Bits anyway. And this is via BrooklynNets85 on Twitter. Rodion Skurutz has a higher ceiling than Kevin Knox. You don't even know who wrote on
I Kurtz. Have no idea. So this is just a straight up alternative fact for me. Because Kevin Knox is looking
at you. Shut up! You bum.
You're just jealous because he's on the Knicks.
That Kevin Knox is on the Knicks?
Yeah, sure. The New York rivalry?
I think that they are both...
I don't even know how to spell this dude's name.
It's on the dock. So
just I know, but I'm not looking.
But they both have... They're both athletically tremendously gifted. I think
I honestly could not comment on Kurux because I
and it's not Kurux. No one says his name right. Only
Kurux.
How do you
say it?
It's Kurux.
It ends in a C.
It ends in S.
Yes.
Shut
up.
But he said that, and like every Brooklyn person I know that watches them, that is not a national media member, knows how to say it. So yeah, Rodion Kurux has been tremendous for the Nets. Ever since the Nets, he's been a starter. I think the Nets went 7-1. Where like Alec Crabbe was injured, he's been absolutely fantastic.
This calls for on-off numbers, Jackie Murray. I did a tweet about it,
Nicholas. Actually, so if you want to search my own Twitter, I literally did. All right, fine then. You can't just give me that extra like, mate. Give me the notification. But yeah, he has made so much more of an impact on us in terms of defensive capabilities, despite the fact that he is an absolute monster when it comes to his cutting. He is a tremendous cutter, and in terms of his timing, D'Angelo is feeding him really well, as is a guy like Joe Harris. He's making these steal dunk plays like once a game, and he's guarded the likes of Kemba Walker, he's guarded the likes of Victor Oladipo. He is going to be a special, special player, and I'm not arguing that Kevin Knox isn't. I think Kevin Knox has higher offensive upside, but I think Rodion Kurutz has higher defensive upside, and I think that that bridge between offense and defense is a little bit higher for my boy.
Numbers don't lie, mate. There are plus 1.2 with Kurux on the Kurux. I'm not gonna with K, Mr.
Yeah,
K,
yes,
on the court.
But that's
a negative
that's,
one.
That's
2.1.
That's box plus minus, bro.
Yeah, box plus minus.
Box plus minus is the worst stat to go by.
Not bad.
You go by net rating, you bum.
Oh, that's an advanced stat.
Yes,
no,
you just
it.
Click advanced and then you get it. Oh my god, you're meant to be the stats man. I've overtaken you.
Net rate. Well, there you go.
2.5. Even better. And go down, scroll down, and look at us defensively on the floor and compared to offensively.
Defensive rate. I don't know how to look at. Oh yeah. Okay. Here we go.
So we are.
His defensive. Yeah. Your defensive rating improves 4 points with him on the court.
That's insane. That's very, very good. He in the absence of Caris LeVert, who is probably our best defender, and Rodney Hollis Jefferson as well. I mean Jared Allen's.
How do you pronounce his first name?
Rodions.
Oh, so it's phonetic. Okay, Rodions.
Yeah, and then...
Rodions.
Say Kuru.
Kuru.
Roots.
Roots.
Kuruts.
Yeah. Kuruts.
It's easy once you know it. It's just... Rodions Kuruts. Instead of C, just use T.
Yeah, well, it's weird. Latvia.
Yeah, he is Latvian. But should we get to the Wizards W? Should we do the Wizards L because they always lose?
That's a deep cut.
Bradley Beal plays better without John Wall.
This is true. This is a fact.
Did you see Kevin O'Connor's tweet?
I did not.
There was. If you want to look it up, just type in on Twitter, Kevin O'Connor.
I don't even think Beal. I follow Kevin O'Connor on Twitter. That is poor form for me.
That is very poor form. But I will go through. We saw this last season when John Wall was out as well for a certain period. So while you're searching for it, I can ramble on because I have been watching a little bit of Wizards basketball, and I think that their system offensively works a little bit better. I just don't think that they've ever developed the required chemistry. You have 22 notifications.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
You've never. When was the last time you were on, you bum?
I misspelled Kevin. Of all things, I misspelled
you
Kevin.
Idiots. And Thomas Satoransky, I think he's just a more of an ancillary piece, and he moves the ball a little bit better and allows. And I think Bradley Beal, as a playmaker and in terms of his passing, has been a lot better too. You waffle on, and I'll find the tweet.
It gives him more room to be
the number one guy.
Yeah, to be the guy. And I think it's a better from a team chemistry perspective that Beal is the guy. Whether that makes us a better team, I still disagree. The whole thing last year was...
But Beal is better, not the team.
But Beal is better. I don't necessarily think that the team will get more wins without John Wall, because John Wall is just a super talent who can make things happen himself. He finds open guys, and if they're shooting well, then they're shooting well. Like, the pick and roll between him and Gortat last year was still very good, despite the animosity. But Bradley Beal is his best Bradley Beal being the number one guy. And I don't have the stats to back that up. but
I do. Bradley Beal is averaging 30 points, and this was as of a few days ago, averaging 30.1 points and 7 assists over 41.1 minutes in the 8 games this season where John Wall hasn't played. Per 36, Beal averages 26-6 without Wall to 22.1 and 4.1 per 36 with Wall.
I mean, that's going to happen, though. It's going to happen when Wall is the ball-dominant guy.
Yeah.
Your usage rate will go down, and being an efficient scorer that he is, your points, your all of that will go down.
Your ceiling is just so tapped when you have those two guys. And I mean, they are both tremendous talents. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think, chemistry is underrated mm-hmm. in terms of achieving success. But, Nick, nice little iteration of the Brooklyn Bits, yeah, and the Wizards... L. We're calling it the Wizards L from now on.
God damn. What have I done?
JBTpodcast@gmail.com if you want to hit us up with that. And at the JMNJBT at JBT Nick. He's never going to check his DMs. JB Team of the Week.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players for the week just gone that have been outstanding in their position. We're running a little bit over time, so we'll probably rush through this one. Russell Westbrook at the point guard erupted for an ostentatious, oh, that's a good word, 24 points, 24 assists, 13 rebound, triple-double, in a close double OT loss to San Antonio Spurs. Shooting guard in 29 minutes and 34 seconds, very precise, in Friday's home match with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Harden became the first player in NBA history to score a 40-point triple-double in fewer than 30 minutes.
Oh, man.
He's 26 seconds off that mark, but he did it. Harden had 43...
26 seconds is a long time, Nick. You get a lot done.
I mean, in basketball, it is. I mean, in today's game, that's almost two shot clocks. Harden had 43 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists in a performance, including 8 three-pointers, as the rampant Rockets routed the Cavs. That's good alliteration.
Yeah.
Small
forward.
141.
Small forward.
Yes. Small forward. Kawhi Leonard validated his claims for this season's MVP with another dominant showing on both ends of the floor with a win over the Hawks. 31 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 steals. You can't play defense, my ass. And one block. Well done there from Kawhi. Anthony Davis at the power forward spot filled up the stat sheet as New Orleans took down the Cavs. The Cavs are getting
absolutely
demolished. 140 to 124. Jesus, 140. 38 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 4
great
blocks,
passing.
And 2 steals. Yes, fantastic. Davis is just the 10th player in NBA history to have 38 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 blocks in a game. Well done there from AD the Brow. LaMarcus Aldridge, no surprises here, taking out the center. 56 points in one of the games of the season against OKC. He had made 20 of his 23 field goals and all of his 16 free throws from the line. Well done. And scored 42 of his points after halftime. Doing it in the clutch there, I guess. LaMarcus Aldridge. All right, let's move on to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Landry Shamet. One vote, got up 15 shots in the Sixers, 132 to 115 win over the Wizards on Tuesday. And he made 8 from 3-point range. He caught fire during a 15-point third quarter on his way to a Sixers rookie record for 3-pointers made during a game. He finished with 29 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Kevin Huerter of the Atlanta Hawks had a career-best 29 points on just 18 shooting possessions in the Hawks' upset win over the Sixers. Saw that kid in person. I like him. He's a ranger. But I like him. 3 votes goes to none other than...
I wonder if anyone other outside Australia is going to know what a ranger is.
Don't care. Luka Doncic, the Don. Is good.
Don.
In the Mavs 104-94 win over the Suns, he was simply dominant. 30 points, 4 of 9 from 3, 8 of 14 from the field, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. The Don is running away with Rookie Watch. He could probably not play a game and still probably win it.
Yeah, he is. It's a similar thing to last year with Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's absolutely destroying it.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. He is tremendous.
Off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic?
Yes, welcome to Off Topic. And this one is inspired by Innes Kanter. And it's Kanter. No, it's not when have we been shot by, attempted, assassinated by Turkish dictators.
And former Magic players Hedo Turkoğlu. Wild stuff there.
It is involving food, which is not a surprise here. It's a very common off-topic theme at
the
JBT.
We'll no, we're not going to play the video because I think it's a visual thing, and I want us to talk about it more.
Okay.
For those that haven't seen it, just check out Enes Kanter's Twitter. I just thought it'd be better that we discuss it. Now, Enes Kanter had something like 7 double cheeseburgers, and then had just like this mini tray of fries. It's just like,
yeah, it was a small amount of fries. I mean, you don't want to fill up on sides when you've got the main course there.
But
as your burger.
Fries are so underrated.
I'd rather 2 burgers than fries, especially if they're just fries. If they're like cheese and bacon fries, we've developed a whole new off topic within the off topic.
I had
off topic exception.
I was in America and I had like 3 burgers. I had Shake Shack. Oh. I had 2 of the other best burgers apparently in New York, according to certain Zagat and Yelp. One of them was amazing. It had like caramelized onion infused the burger, and then nice cheese and a pretzel bun. Pretzel bun.
Pretzel bun.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Amazing.
Gotta give that one a go.
But and then they had curly fries. Very nice. Okay. Big fan of the curly fries. But Nick, we are inspired by this because it's the eating exploits, the overeating exploits, and I'm gonna just let you speak for 8 minutes and 56 seconds.
Well, this is really became a social media thing when the next day he was out because he
illness had, no burgers.
Due to illness, but yes, due to burgers.
Roto World actually had on their Twitter page, and they post obviously like you know whether players are in or out injured. They in parentheses, Enes Kanter injured. Burgers. Literally said burgers.
So he was out because he overate, which is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Cheat day to the max. But yes, that brings to light of certain ventures that we've had overeating. Myself, man, I'm a large man, and there's a reason I'm a large man. It's because I do tend to overeat on occasion, and overrate, I do.
And I've been
before
there
I get
them.
To the grand finale of my story, which you know what this story is, but I'm going to share it with the people. I'm not sure if we've told it before. Last Christmas, not 2018, 2017.
I gave you my heart.
Yes, sure.
The very next day,
I ate it. I mean, maybe. I was at my sister's and brother-in-law's place for Christmas, and
good time to overeat.
My brother-in-law's brother. So, like, my uncle-in-law... That's not how it works.
cousin-in-law?
But, yes, he's a chef, and he made a turkey from scratch.
Oh, yes.
And it's not like... Turkey's, like, a very... Not a huge...
Hit
thing.
And miss yeah, a lot for a lot of people.
Exactly. And, like, generally, every turkey I've had, it's been, like, a frozen turkey from Coles. Like, you get turkey breast, you put it in the oven. It's not that good.
Nah.
But this was a legit turkey... Like, with legs and everything that you put in the oven. He was basting it every 10 minutes. He was a chef. It turned out magnificent. And those of you... This was a big turkey. This may have been, like, 0.5 meter long.
His hands are very wide right like, now, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a big turkey and thus had big appendages. Name the podcast.
big appendages.
Yes. But I had a turkey leg. And this, I just took the leg. I took the whole leg. No one else could have it. It was all cut up there, and I'm just like, screw it. So I just took the whole leg, and I'm just gnawing on this massive, like, dinosaur bloody bone. And I felt very sick that day.
Of course.
And literally the next day, I'm like, man, I need to lose weight. It's like, that was the tipping
point.
That was the tipping point.
The turkey. Turkey's actually, like...
And that was amazing. I generally don't like turkey. But it was tremendous. It was moist.
Lean
it
meat
was,
as well.
It was delicious. That
Any
turkey
gravy?
Leg was tremendous. Yes.
Stuffing?
A little bit of gravy. It was like, obviously, the homemade ticket. Homemade. I'm not a big fan of stuffing in
Freaking
general.
I love stuffing, bro.
Get
stuffed.
I mean,
awesome.
I'd rather just have more meat. So, yeah.
Yep, all right.
What about you? Have you had any... I mean, I've had many more.
I was literally
but that's
thinking
the first thing
about
that comes
this.
To mind. The last Christmas was... Oh.
Yeah, I was thinking about this a little bit. I remember when I was 8 or 9, and this is just a random story that came to me. I was over at a friend's house, and you know how, like, after school you have your snack, you know, it's like a, you know, remember,
yeah, those afternoon little, tea,
you know, those small packets of chips,
yeah,
that, okay, you'd always take to school.
Yep,
they're about 30 grams or whatever, something, yeah, something around that.
Something small, yeah.
I proceed to probably destroy, like, the eating habits of that family for the rest of the week. I had 7 of them. 7 of the small ones. I had a couple of light and tangies, a couple of CCs.
Well, that's the good thing. You can mix it up. Yeah. When you get the small packets.
Potato chips, we've done this before. I'm obsessed, ladies and gentlemen. But the other one, obviously, that comes straight to my mind is our finale, Nicholas. We were there for each other. It was a bonding experience that we will never forget. Chicago, Shy City.
Oh, Chicago. America was very kind to me from a food perspective, which is...
It was to me like this time around as
which
well.
Which is just tremendous. Like, it's exactly what it is. Like, big American food, the fatty stuff. It's so good.
Yes,
so
it is.
Good. So we were in Chicago just before a Bulls game. So
Bulls Spurs.
Bulls, it was Spurs. Yeah. Okay. Bulls Spurs. Like, one of our, I think maybe our first or second game. It might have been our first game.
Yeah, because we went to another.
The first ever NBA game I'd gone to. We're like, we're in Chicago, let's get deep dish.
Yeah.
So we got deep dish pizza. To be fair, the day before, hold on, I need to start this. The day before, we went to a supermarket and we loaded up on snacks.
Yes, we did.
And I'm a big fan of cheesy puffs.
Yes, you are.
Big fan of cheesy puffs. So that's where it started. My breakfast was cheesy puffs.
That's cheese.
It's cheese.
One of the main cheeses. Yep, tick it off.
And then we had deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
And foolish me, never... it was a mistake that all of us made.
I said...
Never realised...
I said we should have got the kid size, because I'm like, look how big this is.
And but we
like,
didn't nah, know we'll how big it is.
We'll all eat a small. We could have eaten a small between all four of us.
It was alarmingly deep. And that's what you don't... That's what
the
we didn't realise.
The dish.
We got one of the biggest, like, in terms of diameter, like, yeah, biggest width, because yeah, it's like... You know, we have like 20-inch pizzas,
and we got like
here,
sausage,
but
in
they're like New York pizzas, so yeah, they're thin. And we smash them. Like I can smash a large pizza here, no dramas,
easy.
And so I was like, oh yeah, well, you know, I was conservative. I like get like a relatively. I can't remember what it was now, but when it came out, I just looked at this big Bertha, and there's about half a ton of cheese in there, and it all comes down to the cheese. Like this is what this story is.
Oh, the cheese is large.
So probably ate about half of it. Pushed myself maybe a little bit more to get that one extra slice that I shouldn't have. And so that was that. Yeah. Like I had like
cheese?
Half a ton of cheese this thing.
You are essentially,
and right now I'm dying.
You look like cheese.
I'm dying. Then we had to walk from the place
to the arena.
To the United Center. Which was awful.
It wasn't far, though.
It wasn't far at all. But I am, like, rolling my way to the United Center, and I have got cheese coursing through my veins right now. And then stupid me, with, like, we're in the arena, which is like, you know what? I'm in America. I'm at a basketball game. I got some cheesy fries. Just hook it to my veins, Jack. Hook, like, American liquid cheese, which I... People don't like...
you're a fan of.
I love it. Yeah, people in Australia don't like it. Not really grown up.
It was
not
better,
really grown
it's
up
better
on
in America because they infuse a bit of actual like cheddar cheese and American cheese in it.
Mm.
Like I had at Shake Shack, I got the... at Shake Shack, it's probably... I put this on Twitter. And shout outs to my boy Mike who's over there in Milwaukee now. Shake Shack over In-N-Out every day of the week. LA fans, at me, at JMAJBT.
I would agree with you there.
And we've both been together
but
to those things.
If I'm measuring on a price per quality...
Yes, but...
I've done this before.
But
anyway.
But it's what you want to eat more. And
I also had bagels with cream cheese that morning.
Oh,
so
I didn't have
cheesy puffs. I had bagels with cream cheese that
but
morning.
You had and for those that haven't seen the video, if you want to
scroll... I might have had cheesy puffs for lunch and then got
or
the...
snack.
Yeah.
If you want to scroll back far enough on our Facebook page, it's literally probably one of our... top 5 posts that we've ever posted in terms
me
of
shoving cheesy puffs in my mouth
from 2 years ago. It's like 2016, 2015. I've saved that video. It's a glorious video, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have any overeating stories you want to share with us, you know where to find us. We hit them all up at the start of the show at the JMAJBT at JBT Nick, JBT Podcast at JMA.com.
Easy done. I reckon that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Pods, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts usually. Do us a solid, leave us your rating and review on whatever medium you choose to listen us on. It does help us out a lot. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep cheesing, superstars.